and blessing. Now, the word manifestation in itself means to make something happen, to bring it into existence. How many of you need more miracles and blessings in your life? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good, don't miss any of these messages on blessings and miracles. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Hallelujah. You know, I laugh at God sometimes. I say, God, these folks, so of all the people you want to send in the house, can you send me? You know, project boy from New Orleans. Why you want to do that? Why you want to do that? Sometimes I ask God, I say, why didn't you pick somebody else to do this thing? I know there's somebody, see, in my mind, there's somebody more holy, somebody more knowledgeable. Come on. Somebody more righteous. I tell God sometimes, God, you know all the mess I done. See, I know none of you have done any mess. But God say, I didn't choose you because of who you are. I choose you because of who I am. Amen? And the plans that I have. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Yes, he is. All the time. See, if God has sent some big wheel in here, big wheel as we perceive them to be anyway, you know, somebody that we've been watching, you know, maybe through the media that's been used to ministering to 8 and 10,000 people, maybe 20,000 at a time. Listen, if God has sent that person in here, the place would be full, be flocked in here, but the worship would be toward that guy. Are you with me? Yes. It would be toward that person. Because we intuitively we think that, well, that person's got something, must have something, because all these people. No. I don't know why God opens the doors like that, but he does. So God said, I'm going to send you a little New Orleans boy. Amen? Oh, ex-drunk. Hallelujah. But the word is ex. Amen?
Amen.
It's ex. It's X. The Bible says, if a man be in Christ, he's a
new creature.
Old things are
passed away.
And everything's become
new.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know why God sent me? Because he wanted you to know that there is a God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
There is a God.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
The story is not over yet, folks. The story is not over yet. Why are you telling me all this, preacher? I don't know why I'm telling you all this, but listen, you open your eyes and start thinking beyond religion and start seeking the God that you talk about all the time. And he's going to start revealing some things to you to just blow your mind and will take you 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 steps higher spiritually than you are right now. Let's talk a little bit about manifesting blessings and miracles this morning, or miracles and blessings. And this is part 2 of that, and the subtopic of it is respect. Everybody say respect.
Respect.
Remember Aretha Franklin and respect? R-E-S-P? You remember it. I know you do. Even Aretha Franklin knew how important respect was. A lot of times we want something from God, but we don't really respect what we're asking for. I want to open up this morning with a scripture that we opened up with last week out of Numbers 23:19. And it says this: God is not a man, not a human being like you and I, that he should lie, neither the son of man, that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Now listen, you need to put that scripture in your heart and just meditate on that. Because as God speaks to your heart and to your mind and tell you about what he's getting ready to do in your life, listen, that this verse applies to that. Because God will tell you some things that just blow your mind. It'll just want to blow your mind. God is something else, folks. He really is. You know, prior to coming to Ahoskie, I had my dreams and visions of going to some big city, making that transition out of the military. I'm going to go and use the resources that I had accumulated, and I'm going to go to the big city, and I'm going to make me a lot of money. Couldn't think about millions at that time, but a lot of money, a lot of money. God said, no, you're not. You're going to Ahoskie. And you know what came to my mind? Because see, God had already told me he was going to bless me. He'd already, that's what that verse is talking about. So if God said it, that verse said, don't you know he's going to do it?
Amen.
Wow. Amen. God wants to bless some of us, if not all of us. I dare you to seek God's will. I dare you to get quiet and listen to his voice. I dare you to, once you hear his voice, to commit yourself to just doing whatever he tells you to do. I dare you to step out of the world of religion and enter into the world of a relationship with your God. Yes. Hallelujah. God will take you further than you ever thought about going. Bless it. I'm talking about higher, not down below, but higher. God is a father that wants good things for us, his children. If you're saved, say, that's me.
That's me.
Jeremiah 29:11. We went over that verse last week and it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. Why? To give you an expected end. What is God expected end for us? Let me tell you what God wants. Three things God wants for us in the natural here. First of all, God wants us healed and healthy. I don't care what kind of sickness comes upon you. God wants you healed from that sickness.
Amen.
God wants you healthy every single day. Secondly, God wants us clean. Clean means delivered. Clean means delivered. I can hear people out there right now. I don't need to be delivered from nothing. I'm all right. Hallelujah. Well, that's probably why you're so loud and so boisterous and so scared and so fearful. Because you need to be delivered from something. It gets quiet when you start talking about deliverance. Gone through what I have gone through, I understand the need to be delivered. Amen? Not changed necessarily just for the change's sake, but to be delivered. Are you eating too much? You probably need to be delivered. Amen? Are you swearing too much? You probably need to be delivered. Come on. Are you engaged in all kinds of crazy activity that the Bible tells you don't do? Then chances are you probably need to be delivered. So God wants us delivered and forgiven. And I can hear the voices now. Well, preacher, I don't have nothing to be forgiven for. And my answer is, you're probably lying. Because we all have something we need to be forgiven for.
Amen.
Amen? But he will do it. The third thing that God wants for us, he wants to meet our financial needs. And he wants to exceed them. Not so that we can have buckets full of money. No. But that, listen, so that you can be comfortable. So that you can have a good testimony. So you can have a good witness. So that you can bless others when God directs you to bless others.
Amen.
He wants that for you. Well, the question is, how does God let us know the magnificent things that he has for us? How? And the answer I gave last week was, God plants pictures of possibilities in our imaginations. We call those pictures dream seeds. Everybody say dream seeds.
Dream seeds.
A picture in your heart of what you want and where you're going and what you're going to have and all that good stuff. These are dreams that stay with us no matter how impossible they seem. No matter how impossible they seem. No matter how. You know, even as a young man, 18, 19 years old, I always saw myself. I don't know why. Listen, I come from a background where people just didn't have very much at all. But I always saw myself having a lot of real estate. I always did that. Even as a young man, at 19, I owned three houses. At 19, without even trying. And the further I get away from it, the more it comes to me. And that God's planted that in me is not something that I saw around me or anybody that had it that was around me. God probably planted some dream seeds into your hearts. Hallelujah. He wants to manifest those dreams. He wants to bring them to manifestation so that you can see them, touch them, and taste them, and feel them. He wants to be real. Don't get away from those things. Hallelujah. But you must be careful not to abort what I call these dream seeds that God has placed in our hearts. We can't say, well, I'm never going to do it. I'm just never going to do it. How did you? I'm just never going to do it. I tell you, it hadn't been too long ago. I told my wife, I said, look, we going to get complete out of debt. I ain't buying nothing. I ain't going to just do nothing at all. And then all of a sudden, God just put a house in my hand. Here, buy that house. And it was such a good deal, Dream seeds. If next year is going to be the year of sharing, your dream seed is going to have to start manifesting itself over and over. But you need to understand that your pursuit and your protection of these dream seeds determine their fulfillment. See, you can kill the whole thing. You really can. Fear can kill it because you're just afraid of going in that direction or receiving whatever your dream seeds are. See, if we let God, God will guide us a step at a time to the fulfillment of these dreams. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like that situation I was telling you about, you know, about the house and stuff. You know, I had made my mind, I ain't buying no more houses. I don't want no more houses. All right, I got enough houses. I don't need no more houses. And then God says, do this. Get that house. And I've known from experience, the only thing I need to know now is what you want me to do next. How you want me to buy this house? How do you want me to get possession of it? What do you want me to do? And I've learned not to lean on my own understanding because it wasn't me that brought the house in the first place. God wants to manifest your dream seeds, the things that's been burning in your heart all this time, subconsciously. He wants to do that. Hallelujah. Once again, if you let God, he'll just direct you how to fulfill these dream seeds one step at a time. He's that way. We talk about manifesting miracles and blessings in your life. Now, to see the manifestation of these dream seeds, you'll need miracles, and you'll also need supernatural blessings somewhere along the line. You're just going to need them. You're just going to need them. I hope you don't mind me just sharing. Like I say, I share all my stuff because I ain't nothing to hide. Hallelujah. How God moving. I remember it hadn't been too long ago, and I think I shared that with that congregation. You know, God spoke to me and about buying a house for my brother-in-law who needed a house. And so it was a house for sale. God said, buy that house. And I went to the people. And the people wanted $60,000 for the house. You know, I didn't want the house anyway. Amen. I wanted to be out of the house business. So I just being funny, I told the people, I said, well, I'll offer you $45,000 for the house. And the lady got, she said, no, I can't do that. The realtor anyway, I wasn't dealing with the lady. Really said, no, we can't do that. No kind of way. I said, okay, that must not have been God. I left it alone. About a month later, the realtor or the lady, one of them came to me and said, hey, would you like to buy the house for $30,000? Nah, they wanted $60,000. I offered them $45,000. And then they had to come back because it was part of that dream seed that God had put in my heart. It was God that told me to buy the house in the first place. Amen. So they come back and say, will you buy a house for $30,000? They could have had 45, but God. Everybody say, but God. God wants to fulfill some dream seeds in your heart. He wants to do it. He wants to do it. We got to step out of this religious bag and start having a relationship with the Almighty God to where you learn to hear and obey. Hallelujah. You see, we are the children of God with the ability to believe, the ability to decide, and the ability to choose the miracles that happen to us. I know we've been thinking, well, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Listen, but you've got something inside of you that you don't realize. And when you start respecting that thing, hallelujah, something's going to change. If you've ever been down on your back, you ever been in a position where you just had a lot less than what you really thought you needed, what you want, you have to be tired of that kind of lifestyle. You have to be tired of that. You're a child of God once you become saved. That's why it's so important to get saved and not just a member of somebody's building. Amen. When you become a child of God, you're a child of God. Right. Amen. How much does God own?
Everything.
That just blow your mind trying to figure that out. And you're his child? You're no way in the world he wants you to be without. No way in the world. What kind of testimony is that? What? Listen to me now. Even as a pastor of this church, if I had a 6-year-old child, and every time you saw that child, maybe a little boy, every time you saw that child, listen, they need a haircut. Every time you saw that child, they were barefoot, didn't have no shoes. Every time you saw that child, listen, all their clothes were dirty and wrinkled and had holes all in them. They looked so poor. Your attention would not go to that child. Your attention would go to his parents. Amen. His daddy said, that's the pastor's son. Amen. What's wrong with that pastor? You think God wants that kind of testimony out here in the world about him? No. I'm not saying that everybody needs to be rich, but everybody needs to have more than enough to accomplish what it is God has called them to accomplish. Every one of us. Hallelujah. Let me take you to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Now, I don't know about you. Listen to me now. But if God says something here today that makes you think that you need to change something, I would encourage you to change that thing, whatever it is. Just change it. One thing that becomes a reality to all of us is that we're going to die. So if I'm going to die anyway, hallelujah, I want to just live in comfort the rest of my life anyway, the best comfort I can. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Promises by who? By God. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Now, don't you let that go over your head. God, this scripture is saying because of the promises God made to you, listen, you ought to be able to walk like gods on this planet Earth. You ought to just live a divine natured life. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How do we escape it? Through salvation, not through church membership. You can become a member of 1,000 churches and be just as poor as you were before you became a member. Today, we're going to look at one of the master keys to achieving miracles and blessings for your dream seeds and for my dream seeds. God has already identified this stuff. We don't have to make up anything. We don't have to dig. All we got to do is just go to God and he'll just expose this stuff to us. The master key that we want to focus on today is respect. Everybody say respect.
Respect.
Such a small little word, respect. Hallelujah. Miracles and supernatural blessings require faith. And you will never have faith for something you don't respect.
Amen. Right.
You will never have faith for something you don't respect. What you respect, you will attract to your life. Yes. That's just the way it works. It's just the hallelujah. It's just the way you work. It works. I know that there's somebody in here that's ready for a change this morning. Jesus taught that those who respected and appreciated what they were given would receive even more. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thought about, you know, you're raising children up and you take your hard-earned money. You just say clothes. You just spend on maybe some school clothes or whatever, but they just go outside and just roll around in the mud. And get them all dirty and, you know, to hang on the trees and get them all tore up. And you didn't spend your last little money trying to get them to look like all the rest of the boys and girls in their environment. Don't you know that's going to upset you a little bit? And the first thing that comes to your mind, you're not respecting what I'm doing for you. You're not. You're just doing what you want to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus taught that those who respected and appreciated what they were given would receive even more.
Amen.
I'm telling you, the very best way to look at your relationship with God is to look at your relationship with your children that you rear. Because you want the same thing, really, that God wants from us as his children. Matthew 25, verse 21 says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Now, I ain't give you all that scripture, but you, chances are you've been familiar with the scriptures that accompany that. Say, you have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Hallelujah. Enter you into the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. See, when you start respecting the little bit that God gives you, amen, and let him lead you and guide you how to utilize that little bit and what to do with it, he'll give you more. Amen. He'll just give you more. He'll just give you more. You know, God gave us this building here to just have worship service in it and any other events that we want. But let me tell you, you come in and you start putting gums all on the wall. Are you with me? Throwing candy and papers all on the floor. You know what I'm saying? Just smudging up the place. You know? And then you're going to ask God, God, give me something better. God said, you've got to be crazy. You got to take care of what I give you. You must respect what you want to come towards you. You must respect. I mean, even in the natural, you understand that. You know, maybe you're a young woman and want a fine husband that's going to take care of you and love you. But every man you come around, you really don't really respect them. You know, and you think you're going to draw towards you that which you want and need. It won't work. What you don't really appreciate, listen to this, you will eventually lose. Oh, I could say that again. What you don't really respect and appreciate, you will eventually lose. Hallelujah. Got to hang on to those things. I'm telling you, God is something else. It could be friends. It could be your health. It could be a job. It could be assignment by God, whatever. If you don't really appreciate it, you're going to eventually lose it. And some of us have lost things already. All right? But if that's you, don't worry about it. Listen, don't worry about it. If your heart changed and you understand what you've done and you've repented from it and now you're ready to do whatever God tells you to do, listen, God is a loving God. Loving God. And he'll set you on the right track and give you a new assignment. And let you be blessed all over again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. This same principle applies to miracles and blessings. And what I'd like to do here, just give you three areas of God's promised blessings for your life. We've already mentioned them earlier, and we talked about it, but I'm going to talk about respecting those things and as they come into your life. The first one is, you need to have respect for healing and good health. Amen. You got to have respect for that. If we really want to experience the miracle of good health and supernatural healing, we must respect our bodies. You've got to. How long you want that body to last? Hallelujah. 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 Don't you want to have good health until, Sister Eva said, until you die, till you draw that last breath? It's possible. You and I are living in a culture where we see a lot of elderly people sick in their bodies. And some of them can't function very much at all. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Where through Paul, the apostle is saying, what? Don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? I'm talking slowly because I want this to get through you. Which you have of God, and you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, everybody say therefore.
Therefore,
glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now let me just stop here just for a second. I hope I can finish this whole thing. But listen, when you get saved, you don't only become a new creature. And the reason you do become a new creature is because God comes in and lives inside you.
Amen.
We don't think like that. Your body becomes the temple of God. So you can't just do anything with your body. You can't do that. It's almost like you buying a brand new house and then your neighbors come along on the outside of the house and start nailing spikes on the outside of your house. I know what you're going to do. You're going to come outside and say, what you doing? This is my house. You don't do that with my house. Are you with me? You don't do that. You've got to respect that body. He said, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost of God? If we really believe that our bodies belong to God, we take better care of it. I think we all gonna have our eyes open today. Amen. We take better care of it. We would work hard to show God that we respected his temples. Do you respect God's temple?
Amen.
Have you ever given thought to the fact that, listen, that you're not only a new creature, but that God lives inside you now? I know for many of us, it's a foreign way of thinking. We think it's our body. We think it's our bodies, but it's not anymore. Our bodies, and we have been bought with a price. You know, I was sharing last week how God spoke to me about this abortion issue. And God said, everywhere you go, you tell them it's your body, but it's not your baby. You don't have the right to kill a baby that belongs to somebody else. We don't own babies. We don't own human beings. Are you with me? God said, tell them, because they've been lied to. They said, we got a right. You ain't got no right to kill somebody, another human being. You don't have a right. Well, I think I do. Well, why don't you kill your four-year-old? Well, that wouldn't be right. So I'm sharing that with you. This is away from the message here. But I'm sharing that with you. Whenever you get an opportunity, you tell ladies, you know, look, yeah, I agree with you. That's your body. But it's not your baby. Amen? I may have to talk a little bit more about that before you grasp that thing. But that baby doesn't belong to the mother. The mother is just a conduit. That's all. It's just a conduit. It's like a pipe. It's something to bring the baby through. And then as parents, because we're part of the process, God gives us the responsibility to rear them until they're able to go and be independent. Hallelujah. It's not your baby. I don't know how I got on that, but listen, it's not your baby. If the child belonged to you, then why don't you just tell the 32-year-old child of yours what to do? You ain't gonna do it. Because they'll let you know quickly, I don't belong to you like that. You ain't in charge of my life. God is a good God. So if we really respected our bodies, we would work hard to take care of it because it's a temple of God. I know you haven't been thinking like that. God lives inside of the saved people. Saved people. Not just religious people, but saved people. Saved people. That's why we become new. That's why you can't be the old person you used to be. Now, if you only got religion, you can keep doing what you've been doing and justify it. Hallelujah. Justified. I remember after I got saved, I'm talking about respecting God. I remember after I got saved, I did something I wasn't supposed to do. Listen to me. I cried all night long. All night long I cried. Because you can't do it. You're not the same person anymore. You can't do it. So if you can just keep doing all your old mess you used to do, listen, without any kind of conviction in your heart, chances are you ain't got what you think you got. And you better hurry up and get it.
Amen.
Amen. God is a good God. The second area of respect is respect for deliverance and forgiveness. I'm talking about salvation here now. We need to respect it. If we want to experience the miracles of a transformed life, we have to begin to respect the gift of salvation. We have to respect the gift of becoming a whole new creature. We have to respect the gift of God coming in and living inside of us. But we don't. We don't. A lot of times. There's a lot of people that have accepted salvation, truly accepted salvation, but they won't let go of the world. You can't have them both, folks. We can't have them both. Hallelujah. Romans 6. Now, I want to walk through Romans 6, the first 13 verses for you. Because I think it has such a powerful message when it talks about respecting something. God wants you to be filled and manifesting miracles and blessings in your life. He wants you to live above a level that you could never even imagine. Hallelujah. But one of the things that you've got to do is you've got to respect that which you want God to do for you. You got to respect it. Respect for deliverance and forgiveness. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 6. Let's look at these 13 verses here. And I gave you all 13 because I thought they were so, so important. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want all that God can give me. I want all that God can give me. Amen. Amen. I want everything he can give me. I want all directions, all knowledge, all everything that he can give me. Look at Romans chapter 6, verse 1. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in sin? How? How? But the devil tries to do it every single day. Come on, because he understands what that does to our witness. Before salvation, you sinned because Satan had a hold of your life. But after salvation, you sin because you want to sin. And you don't have to. Amen? You don't have to. You don't have to. You know, I thought about how foolish it's got to be. I think about how the devil laughs at us all the time. All the time. How we enter into a relationship with God, but then we want to do what we want to do. God said that won't work. That won't work. That won't work. That's like a woman getting married to a man, but she won't do whatever she want to do. That, let me tell you, that won't work. That'll be a lot of problems. Unless it's what the man wants to do too. It won't work. And it won't work for God at all. You see, and verse 3 goes on and said, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, everybody say therefore. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. The old you have been buried. Been buried. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we also should walk in the newness of life. Now, I don't want you to miss this thing here, what it's saying. Listen, it said before death, before crucifixion of Christ, Christ was moving on the earth one way. But after death, he became a whole new creature in our eyesight, and he started moving differently. What are you talking about, preacher? Remember what happened to him after crucifixion? The man starts showing up. I say, the man, God, he starts showing up. He started walking through people's doors. Amen. He never did that before the crucifixion. He started doing that. He started appearing and disappearing. He never did that before. Why? Because now, listen, now you're dealing with a whole new creature. And God said in the same way, when you get saved, when you give your life to God, you're supposed to be a whole new creature. Being able to do what you couldn't do before. Not doing what you shouldn't have done before. That's why salvation is so important. That's why you and I need to pray for our loved ones day and night. Not that they go to church somewhere, but that they get saved. Amen? Because then they are really new creatures. Yes. Hallelujah. I hope when the rapture comes, listen, after the rapture has come and gone, I hope this church is not full. I hope it's not. But I ain't coming back here to see. If you're still here, you got a problem. I'm telling you, you're going to have a problem because things are not going to be like they were before. You're going to have a problem. So I'm saying, hey, might as well just jump on board. Verse 4 again. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. We new creatures. New creatures. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. You got to respect this whole process. Amen. You got to respect this process of salvation. You just got to do it. You can't ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and then live all kinds of ways. You just can't do it. You're going to have a problem. I believe if you're saved, you're saved. Come on. The Bible does talk about one thing that you could do to lose your salvation, but that doesn't apply to most of us. It doesn't. You can be saved and still do wrong, but there's going to be a season of disorder. That's just the way it works. But I'm saying, why even deal with that season of disorder? Just hear God and follow him. Do whatever he says to do. In other words, respect your position of a saved person. Respect your salvation. That means carry yourself in a way that would be pleasing to God. Verse 7. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Hallelujah. That's good news right there. But you got to respect salvation. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead, died no more. Death has no more dominion over him. And it has no more dominion over you and over me. None. I don't know what your perception of death is, but all it is a transition into another spiritual dimension. But we have a choice. Am I going to spend eternity in hell, or am I going to spend eternity with the Lord? If you choose the Lord, then you have to respect the position of salvation. You can't confess that you're saved, ask God to come in, and then just do whatever you want to do. You can't do it. It won't work. The devil will just eat your lunch. It won't work. None of us is all that holy. None of us is all that good. None of us. None of us. Absolutely none of us. But if we respect what God has done for us, hallelujah, things will go well with us. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Verse 11. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed. See, just act like the old you is dead. That's what he's saying. Unto sin. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Verse 12, let not sin therefore reign, which means live in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. You've got to respect your position of salvation. You've got to. That devil's a tricky devil. If he can get you to do it, you'll do it. Amen? That's why I say if a person ain't saved, they may do anything, folks. You did anything. I did anything. Amen? I told you, you don't even want to know all the stuff I did. And I ain't going to tell you. Are you with me? Because if you're not saved, you may do anything. Because there's a devil. And he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. Amen? He's a good God. God is a good God. Verse 13. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Now, that's a powerful thing here. He's talking about having respect for your position of salvation. He said, don't use none of your members, none of your body parts at all to bring any kind of shame to God. Don't do it, because the devil will take advantage of that. Amen? God's not just after me or you. He's after everybody associated with us. That's how he walks. That's how he works. That's how he works. Hallelujah. But yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. You've got to respect your body. You've got to respect your position of salvation. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. I can hear people telling me right now, oh, preacher, look, devil never catch me doing wrong. Shh. You let your God down. You stay away from God for a while. Hallelujah. You start watching too much YouTube. Amen. And not enough word. You start getting weak in your mind and your spirit and in your flesh, and see what you may or may not do. Amen. But if you listen, but if you do something you ain't supposed to do, just ask God to forgive you. That's all. Say, God, forgive me. Amen. Forgive me. And just be willing to deal with that season of disorder. God is willing. He'll listen to his children. Amen. Let me tell you something. As a father, I know this. I can't even think of anything my kids could do that I would not forgive them for. I may not agree with them. Amen. But I'm not going to turn them away. I'm not going to try to kill them. I'm not going to try to make them look bad or anything like that. And God is the same way. He's the exact same way. We've got to respect our bodies. We've got to respect salvation. Third and last, we have to have respect for financial needs being met. We've got to have respect for our financial needs being met. You see, if we want to experience the miracle of having more than enough financially, we have to begin to respect wealth. You see, some people, God just bless them, and then they're just throwing money all kinds of ways. Amen. You want a root beer? Come on, let me buy you six cases. Nah, y'all don't need to buy me six cases of root beer. He said, you got to have respect for wealth. Amen. And when I talk about respect for wealth, I'm saying you've got to respect it to the point where as you start to spend it, you need to ask for God's guidance and God's directions. What do you want me to do with this? Where do you want me to go with this? Come on. How? You know, as a ministry, we at one point in time, people would just call us all the time to help with the light bills, help with this bill, help with that bill. And we would just do it. But God said, stop doing that. Just stop doing it. Recently, we partnership with the First Baptist Church, who's going to be the coordinator of community help. But what we've started doing is we started listening to God. God said, why are you giving them folks that money? I ain't tell you to do that. And so now what I started doing is started listening to God. When people come to me, you know, I ask God, hey, is this one that you want me to help? You know, and he said, no, I leave him alone. Say, I can't help you. But then there was people that, you know, after a while, you just get in the habit of just saying no. There's people that come and the story sounds crazy to me, but God said, help them. Help them. And then I have to help them. And God has to do the same thing in all of our lives. That's how you start respecting wealth, is by asking God for guidance and asking God for direction. Amen. Everything you want don't necessarily need to be spent on at this time and this point. Ask God. Just ask him. Sometimes our background teaching has programmed us to feel guilty about desiring money and desiring nice things. So we fail to attract them because we don't respect them. We think we ought to have the less than the nice thing. God wants us to have money, but he don't want us to be in love with money. Some people love money to the point that they'll do anything for it. Anything. Look at what God says about that in our closing scripture here. 1 Timothy 6:10. He says, for the love of money is a root of all evil. Hallelujah. Which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. They have moved away from the position that God wants them to be in, and they have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. How many of you know people that have heard of people that have won the lottery? you know, millions of dollars, and then 3 or 4 years later, they're miserable. Their life was worse than it was before they got the lottery because they had a love of money. Money is not the root of all evil. If we truly respected money, here we're talking about respect again, we would not spend every dime that comes into our hands. Amen. If we truly respected money, if we truly respected money, we would practice what we've been calling the 10-10-80 rule as a basic. As a basic. It's not, I'm not saying this is catch all for everything, but just as a place to start. What does that mean, preacher? That means the first 10% goes to who? God. Second 10% go to you in savings. And then live off of 80%. But so many people try to live off of 120% and you can't. You can't. It's going to get you in trouble. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jeremiah 29:11. Is where we started this morning. It said, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you," said the Lord, "thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God wants you healed and whole, healed and healthy. God wants you delivered and forgiven. Some people say clean and forgiven. He does. And he wants to meet our financial needs. I want you to remember something. What you respect, you will attract. Hallelujah. You got to respect. You got to have respect for your body. You just got to do. God lives inside of that.
Amen.
Even if you're eating the wrong thing, stop. Now, you know I'm talking to me. Amen. Just stop it. You got to have respect. You got to have respect for your position of salvation. You can't just think and say you're saved, but then live any kind of way. You can't do it. You have to have respect for your financial needs. You got to have respect for the wealth that God placed in your hands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a good God all the time. The number one thing is that respect for salvation. Amen. Don't just write it off as some religious thing you do. When you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be the Lord of your life, you're asking God to come in and live inside you. And from that moment on, anything you do outside of his will grieve him, and it will really grieve you. To do this thing. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we understand what you're saying. Forgive us, Lord God, if respect has not been in those three areas that we've talked about. Forgive us, Lord God. Father, we repent and we ask that you forgive us, Lord God, as we turn around and we do what we need to do to line up with your will, your way, and your word. Now, Father, touch the hearts of your people. Touch the hearts of your people. We understand, Lord God, that the number one thing that's important to you is for them to receive salvation from you, for them to be adopted into your kingdom and become one of your children. Hallelujah. Listening for your voice and obeying everything you tell them to do. We understand that's number one. We even understand, Lord, that everybody in the sound of my voice has been drawn here. Hallelujah. Just to hear what you want them to do next. Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Now, if you're here today,